This Bible talk, titled Don't Be Fooled Again, on Colossians 2, 16-23, was recorded at Robina on Sunday, the 16th of August 2020. It's the fifth sermon in our series in Colossians, Renewed Image.
Well, with over 5 million copies in print, it was the New York Times number one bestseller. Heaven Is For Real is the story of a little boy's astonishing trip to heaven and back again. I haven't read the book, but I have watched the movie. Todd Burpo is not just a small town father, he's the pastor of a Wesleyan church in America's Bible Belt. Like the rural town of Nebraska, the Burpo family are facing financial difficulty. After a number of near misses and health scares, the likable family head on holidays to Denver. On holidays, the two Burpo children become sick, so sick their four-year-old son Colton ruptures his appendix. During the emergency appendectomy, that's a word you might like to put into a sentence today, appendectomy, Colton has some kind of near-death experience. He claims he sees his own body and the doctors working on him in the operating theatre. He claims he saw his daddy praying and his mum making phone calls to the church family asking for prayer. Colton claims he heard the heavenly angels singing and says he sat on Jesus' lap and even patted Jesus' horse. He claims he met his unmet deceased grandfather and his sister who was never born. For all of these reasons, this story is an emotional roller coaster, but strap yourself in, folks, because we're not done yet. Colton's visionary claims play havoc with his father's faith. The pastor questions what he now knows about God. The pastor's crisis of faith brings anxiety not only within his family, now there's division and uncertainty within the church. The wardens ask theological questions about Pastor Todd's new beliefs based on his son's revelation. And just before he gets fired from his job as the pastor, the whole community now turns up to hear if heaven is for real. What's going on in this story and those like it? Well, the truth is it's hard to know. I feel like I can't be too skeptical of Colton's claims because if I do, then I'm hard-hearted as a specialist doctor who doesn't believe in miracles. How can you doubt the little words of a cute little boy named Colton who claims knowledge of things that he couldn't possibly know? How can you question the things that he's seen, especially when this little angel says he's heard the angels singing? I feel guilty for not believing Colton Burpo's vision, and I kind of think that's the point. Of course, Colton isn't the first American boy to have a heavenly encounter. Anyone heard of a 12-year-old boy by the name of Joseph Smith by any chance? Anyone? Anyone? All right. You see, heaven is for real, but the question is, are you for real? Because there's nothing new about elaborate heavenly visions, nothing new about unexplained eternal details, nothing new about entering into heaven, nothing new about worshipping with angels. It was happening in Colossae. We're in our series on Colossians called Renewed Image. Paul's been giving us a new vision of the new creation. The Lord of creation and the new creation is also the Lord of redemption. All things created through him and for him are now all things that are being reconciled to him. The fullness of God in the fullness of Christ is now the fullness of God in us. Jesus reconciling us through his cross, making peace through his blood. The overwhelming message of Colossians so far is this: Jesus Christ is Lord. And in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the mystery now made known to us through revelation. Paul says Jesus was the first to rise again, never to die again. We've been transferred from the domain of darkness into Christ's eternal kingdom of light and love. But for some in Colossae, they are being taken captive. They're being drawn in by fine-sounding arguments. But Paul says it's all according to human tradition, all according to worldly spiritualism that they're getting deceived. If you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, says the apostle, don't let anyone judge you. See that with me, will you? Verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. It's easy to be made to feel guilty about something, isn't it? That's the common complaint against religion, you know. Religion tries to control people through guilt. It's usually a fair criticism too. And it's easy to make Christians feel guilty about, well, anything. It's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel. And that's what these false teachers are doing. They're judging the Colossian Christians. They're passing judgment on them over the things that have passed through their lips. What you eat and what you drink. How you observe religious festivals. How you celebrate a new moon celebration. What you do or don't do on a Sabbath. You see, all of these things are Jewish observances, Old Testament laws that pointed forward to a time of redemption, used as a measuring stick now against the Colossians, assessing the depth of their spirituality so that they can beat them over the head with it. My question to you is, are things really any different today? I've not been corrected lately on my views of a new moon. But I have recently had plenty of questions about food and drink. Should Christians eat pork? Why do we eat fish on Good Friday? Is it okay for Christians to drink alcohol? Plenty of debates about working on the Sabbath. What day is the Sabbath? What constitutes as work? What constitutes as working on the Sabbath? What do we make of Christmas and Easter? Is it secular or sacred? What kind of silly question is that anyway? Paul says, don't let anyone judge you. Everything belongs to Christ. These things are a shadow, only a shadow, a projected image on a wall of what's to come. But what's to come is now here. The substance is Christ. He is the fullness of God, not a projected image, but the image of the invisible God, now renewing us in the image of our Creator. What was once a shadow is now the reality. The reality is here. It's like me preferring to look at a photo of my wife, Corinne, when she's sitting right next to me. Why go for the image when you can have the real thing? Mind you, that's what we do with smartphones all the time, isn't it? Never was such a device so poorly named. Why socialize when you can use social media? Why talk when you can text? Smartphones, dumb people. But it's not just these shadows being used against the Colossians. Not just these legalistic observances being used to weigh the Colossians down. These false teachers are boasting about their superior spirituality. But Paul says, don't let anyone disqualify you. Look there with me now, verse 18. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on aestheticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. The Colossians were being condemned because of their lack of spiritual experience. They hadn't had the out-of-body experience of others. They didn't get to pat Jesus' horsey. And those who did insisted on them doing certain things in order to experience the same lofty delusions that they've had. They were made to feel inadequate and second-rate because they haven't had the same religious heavenly experiences. These false teachers delighted in their higher spirituality and saw everyone else as defective or deficient. They've caused division in the church, not unity. They stood in the condemnation of others. But do you hear what Paul says? Don't let anyone take away your prize. Don't let anyone disqualify you. Don't get swindled out of your inheritance. Don't get cheated out of what's already yours. And again, I want to ask you, is anything really different today? You see, these people, they're completely off their heads. They're so caught up with their own experiences and practices that they've lost touch with reality. But really, friends, the reality is found in Christ. I mean, it's like every Adam Sandler movie that's ever been made. So quickly does it lose the plot. They go into great details about what they've seen, but their heavenly boasting is worldliness. They attempt to transcend into and enter into heaven, but they can't escape the limits of their own imaginations. In an attempt to enter into heavenly worship and to sing with the angels, Paul says these false teachers have a false humility. They're puffed up from their fat-headed ideas. Humility that results in boasting. Aesthetic deeds that result in pride. Heavenly worship that worships itself. Make no mistake, they are self-made men and they worship their creator. It's false. It's deceptive. It's empty and it's hollow. It's idle and it's unspiritual, says Paul. He means business. Hey, do you want to grow as a Christian? Do you want to experience the fullness of God? Well, it's not found in music or visions or dreams or superior knowledge, not by being induced through self-deprecating disciplines. What makes us grow as Christians, what makes the church grow, is being connected with Jesus. Not preachers in white suits with websites, not pastors with special gifts and crazy job titles, not the latest or greatest ministry programs or festivals or feasts. God causes his church to grow. And he does it through the gospel. See it again, chapter 1, verse 6. The gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. You see, that's what the gospel does everywhere it goes. It grows. You see, if you're connected to Christ, then you know full well the fullness of God. When the body is connected with its head, the old self is dead. Look there at verse 20. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they were used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and aestheticism and to the severity of the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Every throne, every power, ruler and authority, everything submits to Christ. All things created through him and for him are now all things being brought into submission to him. All things that were subversive have now been defeated by Christ on his cross. And my question is anything really different today? If all these rules and regulations don't bring you any closer to God, self-imposed religion, pride dressed as humility, self-deprecation to experience the spiritual, if all these things are destined to perish, if all these things lack any value in restraining the flesh, if they are all merely human in their origin, why follow what's already been defeated? I mean, it's a bit like being a Manly supporter, isn't it? Haven't you been humiliated enough already? Why adhere to religious rules when every ruler adheres to Jesus? Why submit to your own opinions and notions about God when the revealed mystery has now been made known? Why be taken captive by somebody else's vision when Jesus Christ is Lord? You got your Bible there? I really want you to get a sense of this. I want you to see the imagery that's going on, that's in play here for us. Look carefully with me. Do you remember back in Eden? Throughout Colossians, I've referred to it a few times. What was it in Eden that had the appearance of wisdom? Can you remember? It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That had the appearance of wisdom. Its fruit had the appearance of wisdom. It was tempting. It's not every day that someone offers you a shot at divinity, is it? God said, don't eat from the tree. But it was Eve who twisted God's word. Don't eat, don't touch it, but ate, taste and touch she did. Taken captive by fine-sounding arguments, deceived by none other than the deceiver himself. You won't surely die. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. But they perished. Humanity distorting God's word. Self-made religion imposed upon others, a false humility with idle notions from unspiritual minds. Do you see the gravity? Can you feel it? The gravity of this situation. Nothing has changed. Don't be taken captive. Don't be deceived. Don't get fooled again. Don't let anyone judge you. Don't let anyone condemn you. You died with Christ. Don't lose your head. Stay connected with Jesus. See, heaven is for real, isn't just a harmless story about a cute little boy who sat on Jesus' horse. These are the lies and the deceptions of the evil one himself, and it's designed to take you captive. Because there'll always be someone selling you a different story, offering you a better experience or a deeper feeling. Always someone offering you a fast track to heaven, a different road, an alternative route, a fast track, a shortcut, but they're promising you something that they can't deliver. It's hollow and it's empty and it's deceptive, like every commercial on television. The latest online worship experience is now available through subscribing to a podcast. The newest spiritual gifts, but only for those who are willing to pay for them. The best-selling book turned into a movie that everyone's reading and now talking about, a period of personal sacrifice, a detox diet and a spiritual cleanse. Not eating red meat on Friday. Does anyone know why we do that? The warning from God is the same as it's always been. Under a new Adam, in this the new creation, don't let anyone take you captive. These things, they have the appearance of wisdom. But in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The mystery kept hidden from ages, now proclaimed to every creature under heaven. These spiritual powers, they offer you heaven, but they are of this world. They promise you the world, but they give you a map. These offer you spiritual fullness and fulfillment, but the fullness of God is located in Jesus, and in Christ you've been brought to fullness too. You lack nothing in him. Don't let anyone pass judgment on you. Don't let anyone disqualify you. Don't submit to their rules and regulations about where you send your kids to school. They'll offer you a different way of entering in, but it all leads to death. The new creation is found in the body of Christ here in the new resurrected community. The body of Christ. Jesus is the head of his church. He is the reality. He is the substance. Only by being and remaining connected to him, walking in what we've already received in the gospel, can we now grow together in the renewed image of our Creator, God causing his church to grow. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you feel like your relationship with Jesus is little more than just going through the motions? Do you feel guilty about your current connection to him? Like you don't measure up, or you're spiritually deficient somehow? Compared to the people around you, you're not quite there. Do other people make you feel that way? Have they ever made you feel that way? Is your relationship with God merely a religious observance? Are you waiting for the next big spiritual experience to come along? Listen again to what Paul says. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The fullness of God in the fullness of Christ brings us to fullness in him. Don't let anyone disqualify you from the prize. Don't let anyone take you captive. God causes us to grow, and growth is what the gospel does Everywhere it goes, it grows. So if you're feeling a bit dry or stale or maybe even a little bit bruised, it might be time to check your connection. Are you connected to the head, Jesus? How's your connection with his body, the church? God causes his church to grow. Will you pray with me? Father, we are bombarded with so many messages on a daily basis that promise us so much. If only we bought, if only we owned, if only we had, if only we were like. And yet, we so easily forget that we have everything in Jesus. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The fullness of God dwelt in him, and now you dwell in us. Help us, our Father, to realize that we lack nothing, that we've been given everything. For those of us this morning who feel guilty as we weigh ourselves up and compare ourselves with other Christians, as we feel guilty about the things that we do have or don't have or have done or haven't done, Father, we pray that we might not be taken captive. We delight and give you thanks, Lord Jesus, that all our sins have been paid for on the cross, that every power and authority that seeks to rule itself over us has now been defeated. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to be connected with you, that we would delight and grow deep in our love for you, that we would grow and bear much fruit, fruit that pleases you, lives that bring you honor and glory. Lord Jesus, when you come looking for fruit, we pray that you might find it at Salt Church and that you might delight in the fruit that we produce, lives that live for Jesus, lives that reflect his love and kindness, lives that show forgiveness and grace and compassion to a world that does not deserve it, just like we don't deserve it either. Father, we thank you for the gospel, and we thank you that not only does it grow us, but by it you grow your church. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, grow your church amongst us. For we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.